Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, my brothers and my sisters, welcome to the PRF table. This is your host, Dr. Dunlap, and I am here with Mama, a.k.a. Marianne Williams, or Marianne Williams, a.k.a. Mama. I always get that backwards just because of what I call you. Mama, say hello to the people.
Good evening, my PRF family, and thank you for being with us this evening. Amen.
Amen. Man, we're going to have a good time tonight. We're going to really dig deeper than where we were last week. If you were with us last week, then you probably remember that we initiated or we started this series on wealth, and we were talking from one particular key, and we'll just do a small recap just to kind of bring everybody up into this day. But the name of the series that God has given me is Your Keys to Wealth, Your Keys to Wealth, and there's a lot to be said about your keys to wealth. See, you have to make this thing personal. It can't be about anybody else's wealth. You can't worry about who has wealth across the aisle or who has wealth in this other part of the neighborhood, because the keys for wealth are not, they're not designed, not the way we're talking about them. They're not designed for certain people because of their race or because of their last name. It's not designed like that. I'm talking about race and last name. I'm talking about those barriers that we often have in society. Last week, we dealt with one key. And the key that we dealt with was understanding the covenant. That's your first key. And if you have a understanding of the covenant, then Deuteronomy 8:18 should make sense to you. But you got to give the whole verse, as we said last week, Mama. You can't just say,
yes.
Remember, the Lord is the one who gives you the power to get wealth. Remember, the Lord is the one who gives you the ability to be successful.
Yes.
Remember, the Lord
yes.
is the one that gives you the ability to gain wealth. And then stop there. That's peanut without the butter. That's ham without the burger. You have to say the whole thing. Because when you go
yes.
to the rest of the verse says, talks to the reason and the purpose of why he gives you that power. It's so
yes.
that he can fulfill the covenant that he confirmed to their ancestors that he swore to them with an oath. And so when we know about what we know about the covenant, and these people that we're talking about, the children of Israel were on the backside of their wilderness experience, being out there in the wilderness for their 40 years. They were on the backside of that, preparing to go into the promised land. The promised land is what God made a covenant with the people. It wasn't because of anything that they did. It was because that's how much God loved them and said, you know what? I'm going to take you from a place that wasn't so good. I'm going to take you from Egypt where you were enslaved for years in bondage up under Pharaoh, not just one, but Pharaoh's generations. And then I'm going to let you take, I'm going to cause him to say something crazy out of his mouth. Take it. Y'all get up out of here and take all y'all stuff with you. Take all y'all riches with you. So they didn't realize it was wealth at that particular time. Take all your riches, take all your stuff. They didn't realize how much they had with them.
Right.
And then God gave them all throughout from while they were in the wilderness. He provided for them. And so now what you have is in this particular book of Deuteronomy, you have about a 30-day period that God is speaking through Moses. And what he's telling them is, look, when you get to the promised land, don't forget that God gives you the ability, the power. He's the one that provides that so that you can have wealth.
Yes.
And it's all about the covenant. It's all about, I mean, that's not the only thing. Wealth is not the only thing that is an extension of what the covenant was about. But it is one of those things. It's something that, why should we ignore it? No reason for us to ignore it. And so when you look again at that verse, it was about God fulfilling the covenant. and he covered them. He took care of them all throughout that through those years and through those periods of them complaining and all that other stuff. He continued to do that because he had made a covenant with his people way before, and this is what's important. The covenant was made before the jokers who are actually receiving the word right now. The covenant was made to their ancestors. And so one of the things that we're trying to press everybody on is there was wealth stored up in your ancestors. Are you going to possess what God may have already predestined for you through your ancestors? Or are you going to sit there and run a rat race? Are you going to sit there and be uneducated about wealth? Are you going to sit there and have a pity party? Are you going to sit there and do just a little bit just to get by? Or are you going to go and grab the keys to your wealth? Grab the keys that God has already laid out there for us. Are you going to take those keys and pull them from off the page and put them into action? So that's where we're at tonight. We're dealing with what second key to wealth is. Mama.
Yes.
For those who weren't there, is there anything that I didn't cover that you want to bring out, that you want to cover that I didn't before we just get right into it? Because I want to offer that to you, for one, but also because it's truly important that you have a good foundation. I just came from a meeting with a financial group, if you will. And one of the things that they said, this is a group that we're looking to partner or is looking to partner with the PRF Teaching Ministry. And so I was listening to, you know, how they present and hearing a little bit more about what they are from a higher level, if you will, within the corporate structure. And one of the things that this gentleman talked about was the foundation. And I was like, yep, right. If you get the foundation, then those other things will kind of make a lot more sense. If you get the foundation, if they get the foundation, if we get the foundation, then it'll be a lot easier to navigate around the different things. So if there's anything that I didn't cover, Mama, please go ahead and jump in. And
I'd just like to piggyback off of what you said. When you were talking about your keys to wealth, and when you said make it personal, so it's just about me, no one else, and the understanding of the covenant. And when God says he's going to do something, he is going to do it. Because as you said, this had happened way before. But he made that covenant, and although they were, you know, they were seemed to be more unhappy, you know, with things than happy, he ignored that because why? He made a covenant, and he took care of them, and he'll do the same thing, you know, for us. But as you were saying, we need the foundation, and we have to have an understanding of who God is, of who he is. And when he says he's going to do something, I will say it again, he will do it. And we can stand on that word. Yes. We can stand
and
on that word.
And I'm going to challenge what you said. I know how you meant it, but I think I need to clarify it. Because what you were saying it's about me. It's not about anybody else. It's really totally the opposite. See, that's the mind that we're pushing away from. And trying to get people to transform into anything, because so many people have been taught that same thing, right? So there's no condemnation there. It's just what you've been taught, that it's about me. It's about what I get, right? No. See, the covenant had nothing to do with one individual. It had everything to do with the community. That's the other part we brought out last week, was this thing was about a covenant for the community, not just one or two people. He made a covenant with Abraham, right? Right?
Right.
That covenant was not for Abraham as an individual. It was for the people that was going to come through him. And so if we say that we're seeds of Abraham, then that means we're connected to the covenant, which means that what God has already predestined to be out there in front of us, all we got to do is get there. And sometimes we're going to go through the wilderness to have to get there. And like I said last week, we ain't got time. to be fooling around no more. Not as if we always do, but I'm just saying, time is up for the fooling around. Time is up for the shenanigans. Go get whatever it is that God has for us, not for you, individual person listening, but for us. If the mindset is about what I'm going to do, then that person, when they get riches, it'll never become wealth. And they think they're wealthy, but all they are rich. And we said last week, Jesus never had a problem with anybody wealthy. But I do believe there was at least one instance where he had some choice words with somebody who was rich. Because the rich person, the young rich ruler, his mindset wasn't right, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
It was about his riches, and he couldn't even follow Christ because he was just more, his riches were more important than following the plan and the course for his life. So, it is all about us. And if we can go back to when we were talking from the rise and fall of Black Wall Street, when we see what happened back in the late 1800s and the early 1920s up to 1921, when it all came crumbling down, they were community. They educated in community. They thrived in community. So that's where we are. We're saying, look, stop thinking individual. Think in the community. Because anybody who has an individualistic mindset but still wants to try to hold on to the covenant is just totally out of order. But we understand what's been taught throughout the years, or we understand what we may have our own understanding. So, you know, it's all good,
okay.
Mama. We roll on.
Okay, I have to ask you a question, please. Okay, when you had said your keys, well, and you said to make it personal, then that's what I was speaking on, at making it personal for myself. So
right,
what
right.
did you mean when you said that, to make it personal?
Right, it does. Remember I said, I understand where you were coming from. I understood it,
okay.
But I wanted to make sure that
okay.
I brought that clarification out. So if anybody did not, okay. who doesn't come to the show every week, and doesn't know how mama talks, then they won't say, well, it's all, wealth is all
okay.
about me, and they got a societal, worldly mindset. So I'm with you. We there.
Okay.
We there.
Okay. Thank you.
So we're dealing with, again, Deuteronomy 8:18. And the first key is understanding the covenant and understanding how the covenant plays a very huge part in the wealth that God has already placed before his people. Tonight, it's going to challenge you, brothers and sisters. It's going to challenge you because it's a little bit different. But it's in the book, so we really can't, we don't really need to argue about that. The second key, here goes the drum roll. The second key, you're already carrying it. And when God revealed it to me, it was like they don't even realize that they're carrying this. It's not anything different that you heard. You may not have heard it like this. Mama.
Yes.
I think I posted online that you already have the second key because it's all in the commands. It's all in the commands. And what do I mean by that? We're going to see tonight where the commands of God are so critically important and so connected to our wealth that it ain't even funny. Not even funny. When I go and look at, remember, we're talking from Deuteronomy 8:18. That's the focal scripture for the whole month, 8:18. But we just don't take one scripture or a part of a scripture, we deal with context. So if you go back to the beginning of chapter 8, not starting at 8, verse 18, but you go to the beginning of chapter 8, the first thing that is said in chapter 1 or verse 1 is, be careful to obey the commands that I am giving you. Now, let me say something for all those who are listening. Tonight, we are not talking about obedience to the commands. Sometimes you can't even talk about being obedient to something that you don't even have a good understanding of. So we're going to just deal with the commands, if that's all right with everybody that's listening.
Yes.
And I want to throw this question out, and I know Adia is going to be taking a seat at the table pretty soon. So I kind of want to wait for her, but, you know, she'll jump in because she's going to hold her mule as much as she can, and then she's going to let it all out like she normally does. But I read that when it says, be careful to obey all the commands I'm giving you. And I thought about that. I said, all the commands I'm giving you, it says today. And then if you keep going, if you look at verse 6 says, so obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. And then if you keep on going down in verse 11 says, but that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you don't forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I'm giving you today. Now, you heard today twice. What God is doing is reiterating things today, but he's not giving them a bunch of new stuff every time he says the commands I'm giving you today.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about, okay, well, he talked about commands. What kind of commands is he talking about? And then understand, he said commands, regulations, and decrees. So God has said some things already before he even told them, remember, it's the Lord is giving you the power to gain wealth. So before he even gets to that, he's talking about his commands. And again, particularly obeying them. But it wasn't an issue with them understanding the commands because that's how they grew up. The commands came all the way back, going back into the book of Exodus. But what makes it so interesting, the people who were in the book of Exodus are not the same people that's alive or that they're older now. Let me say that. They're at least 40-some years, so they're older now. And remember, he's talking to the new generation, the ones who wasn't complaining and murmuring. If you go back in the book of Numbers, what did God say? Those of y'all who are 20 and up, none of y'all are going into the promised land. Y'all going to die out there in the wilderness. The only two that's older than 20 years old that's going into the promised land is going to be Joshua and Caleb. Those are the only two. So there's a need for sometimes for God to just say, okay, hold on. Let me make sure y'all understand these things. And everything that God was doing during this time was about preparing them for entering into the promised land. They took a lot of stuff with them from Egypt. Let's remember that, right?
Yes.
But once we get into the promised land, that which they took into the promised land is only going to be able to produce wealth. And all that he's provided to them that's inside of them, the knowledge of his commands and what he said with his decrees and his regulations and statutes and ordinances, all of that is going to help them to be wealthy in the place that he promised to give to them through their ancestors. I don't know about you, but that's a powerful statement to know that what God promised you, I'm going to benefit. And then it's even crazy. He's like, man, I'm a benefit, but mama and them, they're not even going to get a chance to reap the benefit of it because of how they acted while God was taking care of them. That's crazy. And the reality is that may be some of us. That may be me at times, not being totally appreciative. But I'm saying this today. Just like God said, these commands I'm giving you today, I say today to myself and everybody else, let's do something today. Let's make a decision today as a covenant community, whoever wants to be a part of that covenant community, and grab a hold to the keys of wealth that God has already just put out there for us. Because there's too many people that's hurting in this world. There's too many people hurting in my community. That if people operated with a wealth mindset, and I'm not talking about I'm wealthy because I know Christ, if y'all don't stop with that foolishness, because that's one-sided and that's a lopsided mentality of Christianity and what God did for us. So I don't even receive that. Let me get off of that. I'm gonna try to be good. Here's the question that I just want to pose to us. And Mama, let us talk about this. I want everybody to think about this. What commands of God do you struggle with? And I ask that question because if we're going to talk about being obedient to the command, and we know that here on the PRF table and the PRF teaching ministry that we focus on the root cause, then we can't even, again, deal with the obedience piece if we don't have a good understanding about the command. God doesn't require us to follow something that we don't know. But once we know it, then there's a level of accountability. He can call us on the carpet on that. But I think sometimes what happens, Mama, is, or has happened, the farther we go along and get and walk alongside of Caesar and society, we forget about the command and how foundational the commands are supposed to be to everything. Because let me take it back a couple chapters prior to chapter 8. At the beginning of chapter 6, he says, "These are the commands, the creeds, and regulations that the Lord God commanded me to teach you." That's verse 1 in chapter 6. If you go to the last part of verse 2, if you obey his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. If you go into verse 6, and you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands I am giving you today. I can go on and on and on. So that word command is so prevalent and so relevant that we can't just skip over it as if it doesn't have a very important significance, because even when you go beyond chapter 8, you'll see the word commands, commands, obey the commands, follow the commands, obey the commands. And we know that that was a different time. So we know that their obedience, strict obedience to the command, God wasn't playing. Well, when we come over into the New Testament, Jesus said clearly, I've said this over and over, I believe Matthew chapter 5, "I come not to destroy the law of Moses and of the prophets, but I came to fulfill the law." So those things which God has commanded us to do, we may not be able to do them word for word. We may not be able to cross the T at the same spot every time. But how do we apply that Jesus love to whatever it is that God has commanded? And the reality is some stuff we don't get a bypass on. It's still there. It's still relevant because you have to have a foundation. Why would God go through all of this to build a foundation on his commands, on what he has said that he wanted the people to do when they got to that place and even for future generations, if it wasn't supposed to be part of their foundation? So that's the question that I throw out there for those who are listening to just think about. And if you can't think of any, then that's a good reason why we're talking about it tonight. I'm going to go back to, and Mama, jump in whenever you want to, but I'm going to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 5. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, in verse 1 it says, "Moses called all the people of Israel together and said, 'Listen carefully, Israel. Hear the decrees and regulations I am giving you today so that you may learn from them and obey them.'" Verse 2 says, "The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Mount Sinai." The Lord did not make this covenant with our ancestors, but with all of us who are alive today. Well, I'm thinking, hold on. Well, I'm alive today. So the covenant that God made with the ancestors, he didn't make it with those who he was speaking to in Deuteronomy chapter 5, but with their ancestors. And so I'm still a recipient today of the same thing that he told them in chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, which is the same thing he told them going back all the way to the book of Exodus.
So we are to receive what God has already said and just operate in it to the best of our ability with love. You can't do it without doing it out of love. And so what he does in verse 6, he starts talking to them or reiterating to them the commands that God has set out. And we know those as the Ten Commandments. And so when I read that again, because I'm going backwards, I started at chapter 8 and I said, oh, God, this doesn't make total sense. He's talking about an ancestor and an oath and obeying what he told him to do. So you got to go backwards. And I jumped into this at the beginning of or that end of last week's show. You must not have no other gods before me. That's the first one. God comes first. So if I ask the question again, what man do you struggle with? I'm curious, for those who are listening, do you struggle with God being first in your life? See, why is God going to give you wealth if you're not going to put him first? It's not the other way around. It may happen for some folks, but that's not the plan of God, that it operates the other way around. It's no other gods before me. So that means the things that he's allowing us to have, even building up to the place of having wealth, right? Even that apartment or that 1,300 square foot home or that one car, as he puts you into a larger house or larger home, as he increases the bank account from $10 to $1,000 to $1,300 to $2,000 to now $12,000. That command, it doesn't go anywhere. You should not have any other gods before me. I'm going to submit that the young rich ruler, the one that Jesus, I'm going to say, had an issue with, his response and what he was just not really willing to do, that his God wasn't God, God was his riches. What command do you struggle with? What else is the command? I'm not going to, and let me throw this out as a disclaimer. This is not to run through and try to prove text and try to make each one of the commandments of the Ten Commandments fit into what we're talking about. Some of it's not going to fit, but I'm going to tell you what God has showed me, which I know fits. I'm going to go to the other one. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, because this is what our Lord God has commanded you to do. Okay? I throw the question out there again, Mama. What command do you struggle with? Go ahead, Mama.
Well, I'm saying for me, I used to have to work on Sundays as part of, you know, because that's the day that we say is our Sabbath day, and I used to have to work on Sundays, you know. And then sometimes, you know, when you say keeping it holy, you know, back then, you know, that's what they all did. But today, you know, you have to work. I had to work. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I had to do some things like washing clothes or something that I should have done, but I didn't have time because I'm working so many hours, you know. So to me, that would be the one that I would that I struggled with, you know. But it was things that I had to do because I was trying to keep a roof over my, you know, son's head, you know. Our heads. I mean, you. So I was struggling with that because I was in a church and they were, and to them, well, they said the Sabbath day, you don't do anything. You know, you don't cook, you don't do anything. You do everything on that Friday before 6 o'clock. And then turned around and said, well, we can still warm over our food and we can use instant this. And I was just like, well, isn't that still cooking? You know, so... I mean, you know, I struggle with it because this thing. Okay, if I'm warming it up, I'm still cooking, you know, and so then I didn't consider myself to be keeping it holy because, you know, that's the way they were teaching, you know, how to keep your Sabbath day holy. You know, you don't do anything. You know, you go to church, come home, then you eat. You know, but oops, you got to still. But you know, I put the fix the food on Friday before six. You all do that, and then we just warm it up. And then on Sunday mornings, we use instant grits instead of the regular grits. And I had a problem with that, too, because I said it's still cooking. So to me, I felt I struggled with that, you know, because I didn't see it that way. If you're not supposed to cook, you're not supposed to cook, you know. So I don't know, sometimes I felt I was holy, sometimes I felt I didn't keep it. So
what?
So I struggle with that, you know.
And thank you for your honesty. And here's what I would say. A lot of people struggle with that. Not from where you were coming from, Bill. Well, you know, I'm not supposed to do this today. If we understand what the Sabbath was about or is about, it was about rest. God made it clear. Let's look at where it came from. God made it clear. In 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth. He created all those things, and then he rested on the seventh. And then he said, this is what I want y'all to do as well. So the reality is, getting wealth, if all you're doing is running, it's not going to happen like that. That's not God's
plan.
So all I'm throwing out there for us to consider, for people to consider and think about is, what are you doing to try to be wealthy?
Okay.
See, God's desire is not for us to work 80, 90 hours a doggone week. That's not, God didn't set this, he didn't set it up like that for us. And yes, we do recognize that some people have to work more than others. Some people have to work longer than others. But that's not God's plan. God's plan ain't to be working 3 and 4 jobs and getting 2 hours of sleep a night and then going to church on Sunday, thinking, oh, I did my duty. Nah, you really didn't. And I'm telling you, I really think God has. I thank God that God has been so gracious to His people, Mama, who just really refuse. Nah, I ain't gonna say refuse and be into that disobedient thing, but struggle with keeping that day. And this is not to debate whether it's on a Saturday or a Sunday. We ain't talking about that. We're not even dealing with that. The reality is, are you resting? Are you resting so that you can hear from God? I mean, some stuff just doesn't make sense. If the Lord says for me to honor the Sabbath, to take that day of rest from my labors, enjoy Him, He who created everything, He who has given me the job, He who has allowed me to be where I am today, and give that day, to devote that day to Him, but yet I got to go and do all this other stuff, or I choose to, that's a struggle. Because it's about that other stuff. I'm going to be so bold to say this, Mama.
Okay.
Probably most of us struggle with that one, especially as ministers and pastors. I know that for a fact. I'm not coming down on any of us. I'm just saying there's a connection to our wealth with how we deal with and understand the foundation of the commandments to all that God is trying to provide for us, that He's already laid out there for us.
if we're willing to go and get it. Can I give another one? This just gets my heart right here. There is a command that says, honor your mother and father, as the Lord God commanded you. Then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. I got to honor my mom and my dad. Okay. I just don't see it. Let me just tell you what I just don't see. If I'm going to be disrespectful to my mother and my father, or my father, and not give them honor, but expect God to allow me to be wealthy? Why would he do that? Why in the world would God do that? I recognize, Mama, trust me, I do, that God can do anything he wants to do. But I ask the question, would God allow that? Why would he do that? Why would he set me up for failure when I can't honor my mother and my father? See, that's one of those commandments that hits everybody. Everybody. Because all of us have come from a mother and a father. See, that's that part of it right there can speak a lot to our young people. You see, because a lot of young people don't have mother and father in households. So sometimes that honor the one who ain't in the household can be kind of challenging. Not necessarily just because of them, but because of the structure of the household of the parent that they're with. It can also be a struggle for them when they don't see or a parent is not within their lifestyle, in their life. So not being in their life, not seeing it, causes them not sometimes to have that good example. And they may not even realize it, that it's a struggle for them. Man, I'm not about to honor that dude. That dude walked out on us when I was 2 years old. I ain't got nothing for that dude. That dude? Dude, really? That dude is your father, right? My mama was on drugs, and she had to go live with my grandmama. Dude, chick, that woman is your mama, your mother, and God has commanded that we honor. And here's the other thing. God did not say honor your mother and your father until you're 18 and get out their house.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's a lifelong commandment. So why would God give, and again, I'm asking questions. That's all I'm doing. Why would God give you the wealth that he's had stored up for you if you're not going to honor your mother and your father, the ones who have given you life to be here, regardless of what they've done? So you remember what God said. Remember when you get into this promised land. Remember the Lord. Remember what he commanded. So there should be something coming back when you remember. There should be some action that comes when you say that you're remembering God and what he has said and what he is requiring of us. Okay, here go another one. Go ahead, Mama, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to add that to honor your mother and your father also means to honor them out of their presence. And it's also what you think about them, because what you're mm-hmm. thinking about them, you're going to end up saying those same words. So it's just not being honoring them in front of their presence. It's also when you're out of their presence, and it's also how you're thinking about your parents.
That's good. I agree, Mama. I agree.
Amen.
That's right. Can I hit another one? Because again, we're talking about wealth.
Yes.
There is one of the commands, Mama, that says, "Thou shalt not steal." Mm. That's such a lot. That's a five-letter word that has so much impact inside of it, mm-hmm. because there's a whole lot of stealing that can occur
in different areas.
Exactly, in different areas. And see, some folks have gained wealth by dishonest gains, or excuse me, riches, but they consider it to be. See, you can't steal your way to wealth and think that God is going to be pleased with that. You can't cheat your way to the top and think God is going to be pleased with it. If we're talking about wealth, sometimes we got to just deal with that rich mentality, not the wealth mentality, the rich mentality. So we're in this time of tax season, right?
Yes.
There are some folk that have allowed themselves to get caught up in certain things with the tax man or the tax woman, claiming individuals that they have no business claiming.
Amen.
Reporting income that they, or reporting less income than they actually made. Fudging donations. Yeah, I'm just hitting them all. When that person gets that $5,000 check, they're not wealthy. They're actually broke. Because you cannot expect anything truly good to come out of that. Sir, ma'am, you may be able to pay your light bill that was past due. Yeah, light's going to stay on. Maybe able to catch up them car notes. But it's not going to be anything that God is going to bless and allow it to be transferred to your children or your children's children. So it's only going to be temporary. So I think that all of us who are listening just have to really be careful in having a mindset of what is riches and what is wealth. And say, okay, what are some things that God said? Because you got to remember, God has brought these things out to the people, to his people of Israel, so that they can remember them. See, God knows that folks are going to do crazy stuff with their taxes. But if there was somebody that was standing before them like Moses saying, okay, look, your W-2s are supposed to come. They'll be sent out by 31st according to by law. When y'all get these W-2s, that means y'all can go ahead. Now you got the tool to go ahead and start filing your taxes. Let's talk about what you don't need to do if you want God to bless it. And everybody doesn't get refunds. So some of it's not about refunds either. Some of it has something that has to do with not having to pay Caesar what is owed Caesar. Hey, don't be mad because you put the wrong number down on and claim the wrong deduction, and now you owe that. See, that's not God's problem. We got to do things right. If we want to grab a hold to the keys of wealth, then there's some things that God has commanded that we just have to say, you know what? Let me remember these. These commands, y'all, was about, and this is my commentary only, was about making sure that, and not just the commands, regulations, statutes, ordinance, judgments, was about making sure that his people were rooted and grounded with how he wanted them to operate once they got there. That's powerful for me. Especially in a time when people join church and then they supposedly get the foundation. It's backwards. God taught people before they got that. And you can't predict that in today's society. I got it. I understand that. But doggone it, I know so many people have so many thought processes and have been in the worldly mindset that we got to teach these folks, mama. And we got to teach them quick. Because folks are messing up their wealth that is stored up for them.
Yes.
Because of simple things. Now, and I say because of simple things, I just want to believe, this is me, my belief, that some of these commands that he has placed in, that he has already placed and that he's reiterating and that has not gone away, may, There's another question. Let me just say it like this. The other question that I wrote down for tonight, and we're almost done. What command can you see will block your wealth if ignored? What command can you see? This goes to now what you were talking about, Mom. This goes to that individual thought process now, where individually you say, you know what, if I ignore this particular command, could that block my wealth? And if you're willing to answer that question, not necessarily you, but whatever answer that you provide, right? I mean, you can answer, Mama. I'll be quiet. But whatever answer you provide, then now that's going to require some action on your part. But sometimes you can't do action without having an understanding of what it is that you're going to act upon. Go ahead, Mama. Go ahead. Jump on these.
Oh, I was just thinking here about being married. If I'm married, then I should not be committing adultery. And if I do, then that's going to really block my wealth. It also will tear down the character, because somebody's seeing you when seeing us when we don't think they're looking. You know what I mean? It's going to put us into lying, you know. Or it'll put us into point that sometimes we bring others in, we'll go and tell our girlfriend. You know what I'm saying? So that as being married, and that's also a covenant of God, that's for married people, that is, I can see how that would block. Because it leads to a whole lot, leading on into more and more sin, more deceitfulness, and the whole, I mean, it just opened up a can of worms.
Mm-hmm. You're right. And this is what I say, because I think I'm done. You know me, I don't have to go till 9 o'clock. We go until there's nothing else to say. Mm-hmm. As an individual, we all have to take accountability for what we know and choose to ignore. Again, I'm not dealing with the obedience tonight, but what we choose to ignore. And then there's going to also be some that's going to be held accountable or responsible for not teaching those things which God has said. See, we can teach stuff. We can say what Paul said all day long from the pulpit. But see, you can bank it all day long on what God said.
Yes, yes.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So
yes.
My thing is, foundation that we utilize, it matters. And if we're going to talk about wealth, if we're going to talk about applying that scripture in Proverbs, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, that ain't got nothing to do with Paul.
No.
That ain't got nothing to do with Peter. That's the word that came. It ain't even applicable. We don't even need to go that far. But it's challenging sometimes to stay in a certain place. Mm. And think that you're going to get farther than where you are. The Israelites, the children of Israel, they had to move from this place where they were at the bottom of the mountain, where Deuteronomy is written from, and cross over to get to where the wealth was. It's not like a pot of gold sitting over there, where, I just crossed the street, and now all of a sudden I can just get as much gold as I want. Mm-mm. There is so much more on the other side. Go ahead, Mama. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead, please.
No, that's okay. I was looking at the first one, you know, that you must not have any other gods except me. A lot of times, I can just see in my own life that I have put other things before God, you know, because I have a certain time I'm going to read my word, a certain time I pray, et cetera, et cetera. But there's been time like, you know, right now I just don't have time to do it. I'm going to do it later. And then later never comes, you know. And so it's things like that. Sometimes I think we're okay because we say, oh, I just forgot. But, you know, this word is something, this is my opinion, should be read daily, because he says it's renew your mind daily. So it's so much stuff coming into your into our minds, and so much we also have to do, that when we read the word, he said, that's renew our minds. That means, you know, we just shut down everything and just read his word, and not only will it just calms us down, you know what I mean? And it also lets us hear if God's speaking to our heart. So this is one here that I think is also most people violate that. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you. And since you pulled that one back to our remembrance, let's go to the one that's right after that. You should not make me. Go ahead.
You must not make for yourselves any idols or anything to worship that looks like something in the sky above or on the earth below or in the water below the land. I would like for you to explain that to me because, you know, we see these pictures and, you know, pictures of angels and white angels, black angels, and, you know, so I want you to explain to me exactly what that means.
Well, let me take a different route because that'll be too long. Let's go to the rest of it along with that, right? You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, and I will not tolerate your affection for other gods. That's more of the meat of it. Yeah, you can take what was said, but there's more to it, right? I lay the sin of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected. Even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. Now, see, see, we have to be really, really careful, right? We have to be really careful because God is saying, what you bow down and what you worship, I ain't having that.
Right.
I'm not going to tolerate it, and it's going to affect not just you, but it's going to affect third and fourth generations.
Yeah.
So it's not uncommon for me to believe that some of the failure to obey God's commands have affected other generations other than the one that's current, present, right now. And my thing is, let's just think about it. That's all I'm proposing tonight. Let's just think about it. Think about it individually. Think about it collectively. Have the conversation. And if you find yourself, you know what? Man, I'm up here grinding. I'm working all hard. I'm making all this money. But I just don't honor my mother or my father at all? That will affect my wealth. I may be living well right now, but is this all that God has for me? And maybe God won't even take that person to the next level and take those riches and turn them into wealth. Maybe he won't even do that if their mind ain't right. And I say this. Remember that Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the laws of Moses and of the prophets, but I came to fulfill them.
Yes.
So, and again, fulfilling them through love is critical. That's something it's not so much an obedience thing. It's a fulfillment thing. What did God say in Deuteronomy chapter 8:18. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors before with an oath. And Jesus said he came to fulfill the law. These things ain't separate. They work hand in hand. We have to receive them. We have to say, what's really going on? It's too much stuff going on in our communities, in our families, in our societies as a whole for us not to be asking some of these hard questions. What the heck am I not doing right? I'm talking about the man that wrote you up at the job. that won't don't talk about the person that won't promote you. What am I not doing right? Where am I not properly positioned? I think I mentioned something about earlier today. In Habakkuk chapter 2, we always talk about write the vision and make it plain. Remember, this is what we're talking about. It comes from planning and savings are next door neighbors, that lesson of the PRF ministry. And so we're talking about planning and saving, but it's not just about writing down the vision. If you look at Habakkuk, what happened was he positioned himself. He stood and he watched. And it was in that position that he was able to hear God to say, write the vision and make it plain. So it's not just about doing. We got to hear. We got to listen. And we definitely got to be in the right position to be able to receive and to be able to hear. And then do what it said. So this tonight, I'm believing it. I believe in it wholeheartedly. I do.
Amen.
I believe the commands God has placed are inherently connected to our wealth or our level of wealth. Again, not talking about obedience. All we're talking about is let's get an understanding of what God has already said and try to apply what he's already said and see how that's going to apply with what he's already said that he's laid out there for us. We have no reason as believers particularly to be as, I can't even say we're broke, but we should be more wealthy than anybody in this country. Wealth should be oozing off of us as believers, but it's not. So since it's not, then we need to evaluate ourselves individually and as individual covenant communities, whether it's a church or whether it's the community that you live in, and say, what is it that we may not be doing right? Is it possible that we've stifled our own growth towards wealth? Is it that the keys that we're using won't fit because we're not operating with the right keys? See, God is a God of honor. So if I'm going to honor God by holding on to his commands and operating with them out of love, why should he not bless me to be wealthy? And again, there are some other things that God has said along the way. So we don't want to just say that if you just follow the Ten Commandments that you're going to be wealthy. That's not what I'm saying. The Spirit said, hold on, you better correct me. That's true. No, I'm not saying it like that. But I'm going to operate and exercise what I need to exercise because of what I know now.
Yeah.
So now there's an excuse. So if it doesn't come as fast, if there's something else, then it's not going to be because I'm not following the commands or I don't know what the commands are saying. It may be some other reason, like it may not be the right time. But I'm not going to sit up here and just be guessing, man, how come I ain't got a job? Man, how come I don't have saving? Man, no, We shouldn't be sitting around doing that, not as believers. Mama, any last words? I'm done.
You know, I really enjoyed this discussion because I've been taught the Ten Commandments, and I'm sure a majority of us have. But we learn them, but we never, you know, we don't think about them that much. We just, I can say, you know, I'm just gonna make sure I do the right thing. You know, and don't really apply it to our lives mm-hmm. like we should. In other words, you know, for me, I'll say, you know, I just don't want to be, like you said, disobedient to God, see. But the way you, and that's true. But also, this is true, too, because we're here, we're applying these commandments to our wealth. And before this here, I was applying commandments to me doing the right thing. And that was it. Nothing else. Just planning to me doing the right thing. So I have learned that the commandments is really a foundation to everything.
That's right.
We do.
That's right.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
And I'm gonna add this as we shut down for tonight. The commandments are foundational, but the commandments wasn't the first thing that said that was given. The covenant came before the commandments.
Okay.
So even if it wasn't any commandments, the covenant that God made with his people still exists.
Right.
It's just a measuring stick. Commandments, just a measuring stick.
Okay, that's good.
But think about when he first told them that, when they first heard that. The commandments wasn't there. It's like, whoa, you gonna do all this? Let me tie that back in to Christ. The covenant came before the commandments. It was nothing that they did in order to get the covenant. The covenant came because he loved his people whom he created in their image and after their likeness. Jesus is about grace. So it's not about what we do. It's about his grace to be able to do the things that his Father in heaven has said, let me just give y'all a couple things I want y'all to focus on. And you do it in love. Oh, my goodness. Really? Because if you think about the commands back during this time in this Deuteronomy period, do you know what happened when you stole? Do you know what happened when you murdered? You didn't go in solitary confinement for 30 and 40 years. So I thank God for the grace of Christ that those commands are not held with the repercussions of not doing them through the law. Man, Mama, I'm done. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we thank y'all so much for being with us here on the PRF table. Look, we've enjoyed this tonight. I know I have. It has been a long couple of weeks, but we are still pressing on here at the PRF table. We have some great things that are coming on the horizon. I got to do like a D and kind of just hold my mule right now, but within the next couple of weeks, you will hear about what is going on with this PRF teacher ministry, and you'll be able to catch it online. So speaking of online, go to our website. Check us out on the website, which is prfministry.org. And also go to our Facebook page. If you go to Facebook, type in Facebook on your browser, and our code is PRFPRF. So you can go facebook.com/PRFPRF, or, again, go to our website, prfministry.org. Look around there. You may also find something about a donate button where you can contribute to the PRF teacher ministry. If you are enjoying the work that God is allowing us to do and you have the ability or have it in your heart to be able to bless this ministry, to be able to do greater things than we're doing right now. So with all of that said, next week we're going to be dealing with the third key. The first one, as we dealt with last week, was the covenant, understanding covenant and how it applies in community. Tonight we dealt with the second key in this Your Wealth, Your Keys to Wealth series, which was and is the commandments. And next week, I'm just going to leave it up in the air because I believe Adia will be coming and she will be leading that discussion, leading that dialogue. So I'm not even going to put it out there. But remember, this is not about being anything other than obedient to what God is calling us to do. So follow what God is. Grab a hold to these two keys that we've already provided. If there's an area in your life within these two keys that you see you need to make an adjustment, I pray and we pray that you make that adjustment so that God can allow you to take those keys and put those keys in the keyhole and then open it up, because I promise you on the other side is a good place to be and is a good feeling to know that the wealth of our Father, which is stored up in heaven for us and also down here on this earth, is there waiting on us if we'll just do what we need to do. So with that, my brothers and my sisters, God bless you. We love you. We thank you. Join us again next week here on the PRF Table, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is Thursday. Every Thursday we are here. We love you. God bless you. Good night.